The Lord says he looks for people that worship him. Amen. True worshipers. And yesterday, I was at a conference with these ladies that are with me today, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But first, I wanted to talk about our praise and worship, because when we have that attitude of praise and worship, we're equipped. We are equipped to do what we need to do. And even right now, I have to trust the Lord to equip me to do what I'm doing today. Amen. Because it can be nerve-wracking if you don't have the Holy Spirit speaking through you. And so that's what I want to do. I just want to submit myself to the Lord to be used. The thing that I wanted to talk about today is hope. We've been talking a lot about our minds and how thoughts are messing with us. So last week we talked about we can have assumptions. We keep assuming everything around us, and it becomes a reality in our life, and it's not true at all. So we're going to decide what is true and what is not true. And we do that by hearing what the Word has to say and allowing the Lord's hope to be in us. And we're going to talk about hope today, because if we don't have hope, we're going to have problems. And I want to tell you something. I think those of you who engaged in worship right now, you actually experience hope in your heart. Amen. If you're thankful, you're actually allowing hope in your heart. Mm-hmm. So if you're not feeling hopeful right now, that tells me something. And it tells you something. Matter of fact, our mouths tell on us, don't they? Yes. Our mouths tell on us. So if you're feeling depressed and lonely and sad, then what are you hoping in? Where is your mind? Is it on, I hope my son calls me. I hope somebody helps me. I hope. Well, we're going to talk a lot about hope in a moment, but I wanted to talk a little bit about being thankful, because again, a thankful heart is somebody who is receiving hope. So I have Carol and I have Dolores, and they're going to read scriptures for me. And right now, go ahead, Carol, read Psalm 79:13.
Okay, and the word of the Lord says, so we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations.
Okay, that says a lot. It talks about generations. It talks about us being sheep. Remember last week we talked about Psalm 23, the Lord is our shepherd. That means we're sheep. Mm-hmm. And through the Bible, it talks about people being sheep. And what it is saying praise is so important. Praise actually brings the Lord into your moment. It brings him into our present. We feel him when we praise him. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. So if you have no hope, what do you got to do? Anybody in the room here?
What you got to praise.
You got to praise. Even if you don't feel like it, right? Yes. If you don't feel like it, turn on the TV and put on a praise song or a praise station, something mm-hmm. that's going to give you some stuff in your spirit. Over the weekend, we've been talking about how to feel your spirit, mm-hmm. because we are spirit mm-hmm. beings before we are Amen. Flesh and blood. Yes. We are yes. spirit before yes. we were a soul. Wow. We are spirit. So our spirit is going to house some things. Mm-hmm. Now, if your spirit is full of fear, you're not going to have any hope. Where is your hope? Because your fear is the devil's faith. So if you're fearing anything, you're believing what the devil says. There's no hope in fear. There's no hope in what the devil says. It's hopelessness. So a lot of people walking around in these insane asylums and different medical places feeling like, oh, I've lost my hope. I'm all depressed. I'm confused. They've been listening to that other kingdom. Mm-hmm. That's what we as people here of God's pastor needs to go out and start visiting. We talked about it. Four of us talked about going into the convalescent hospitals, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. We're talking about maybe once a month getting together and going and visiting different hospitals and such, Lord, and hallelujah. Begin to speak life mm-hmm. into these souls. Yes. There are spirits laying yes. around in these beds dormant because nobody is speaking life.
Amen. Right.
So Amen. We have an opportunity while we still can, because we hope one day when we're laying like that, hope not, but if we do, that somebody comes and speaks life Amen. In our
Amen.
Hearts.
Thank
so
Amen. Father, God,
when we can get this hope restored, because the Bible says what? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people with broken and hurt hearts, and yes. a lot of yes. diseases come from yes. a broken heart. Okay, so we have another scripture right now that you could read, Dolores. Psalm 22:3.
But you are holy,
O you who dwell in the holy place, where the praises of Israel are offered.
Okay, we're in a holy place. Whenever we praise you guys, we're in a holy place. Mm-hmm. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. So does that mean we can always be holy? Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, every minute of every day you can stay holy. But what happens? Our thoughts start going to, oh, I got to call that person. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I got to deal with that bill. Mm-hmm. I woke up this morning thinking of my taxes. I had to get on the computer and write the notes down so I could get it out of my head so that they're not rumbling around in there. Mm-hmm. So if our thoughts are all over the place, we better organize them. And I talked about it last weekend. We have the greatest organizer in the room here, Carol. She organizes. Matter of fact, she came to my house and organized my office for me. And she came over, what, a month later, and she saw, it's still organized. Thank you, Jesus. I passed it. But she didn't see it before she came over. I had to go and fix it up a little bit. But, you know, I wanted to make sure she knew that I was still organized because we need to be accountable to each other a little bit. I'm starting a new something else that's coming up. It's called it's like a detox of your body to help your body and stuff, and it's a 21-day detox and a brain thing. But we've got to learn how to detox our thinking. When something comes in, can we recognize what it is? Where is it coming from? Is it coming from God? Is it coming from the devil? Or is it coming from our own stinking thinking? Because even the scriptures say it's from within, out of the heart of man proceeds. Not what jumps on us on our shoulder or the little devil, you know, speaking in one ear. What he can do, though, is whatever is in us, he can tempt. He can cause us to fall into all kinds of temptations. And one of the things that I learned is that if I don't have, for example, okay, I can go into a bank and not be tempted to rob it. All right? Are you tempted to rob a bank when you walk in?
No. Mm-mm.
But are you tempted to go and buy a piece of chocolate cake on the chocolate cake aisle?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Because it's in you. Because that is in you. But robbing a bank is an enemy to do it.
Right.
So the enemy can only tempt what is in you. Mm-hmm. So when you can recognize what is in you and go, well, I don't want that in me anymore. I don't want the temptation. I don't want addiction. I don't want those things in me anymore. So God, show me so I can get those out so those things aren't pushed anymore. Mm-hmm. So I can walk. Matter of fact, driving to work, I had to use patience because I drove an hour and 15 minutes one way through traffic. Mm-hmm. And I was like tailgating and for the first 5 years. And then pretty soon the Lord started to teach me how to have patience in my driving. Mm-hmm. See, patience comes through trials. Mm-hmm. So if you want patience, ask for trials. Mm-hmm. But most people don't. They're too afraid of the trials. Mm-hmm. But that's what gives us our hope. When we can really trust the Lord in the middle of driving our car and having all this stuff happening, our hope will stir up, and our hope is what makes us. And it says hope in God. Hope is a mind-body connection. Mm-hmm. Okay? We are vessels, and we're full of something. And my husband will always say, you sure are full of it, Linda, you know, because I am full of something. And that's what goes in. Now, many people say, well, I've got the Holy Spirit. It's the only spirit that I have. So nothing else can go in there. Well then, why are you so angry? Why are you distressed? Why are you in fear? Those are spirits. Because we're a spirit being, so the spirits can flow in and out, whether they're from God or whether they're from the enemy. Mm-hmm. It's going to be up to us to decide what we do with those things when they come, right? That's
Amen.
What we do.
Amen.
Okay, Proverbs 13:2, I just said a minute ago, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Mm-hmm. So if our hope is deferred, we're going to have a hurt heart. We're going to even think God doesn't love us, nobody cares, all that stuff. So what are we hoping in? What are we, right now, let's be honest. What are we hoping in? So I'm asking from the peanut gallery here.
I'm hoping.
What are we hoping in?
I'm
not
hoping
for,
in.
God.
I'm hoping in God.
Okay, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's a great churchy answer. That's what we want to get to. Okay, hope. What do we normally hope in? I'm not saying that you're doing this, but what are things that people normally hope in? Hope in finances. Hope that I'm going to get that $1 million lottery win. I'm hoping in... you know, what else? Any thoughts? Any hopes?
I am hoping that God will continually hear my prayers and align my spirit with His.
Okay, you're hoping in God. See, there's your hope in God. Mm-hmm. So there could be all these other things going on in your life. Let's say you have a child that's gone astray. Mm-hmm. What are you hoping in that example?
That he
would come back to the Lord. So are you hoping in the person that they will come back? Or are you hoping in God with the person to come back? You see how we do it? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we hope, oh gosh, you know, I hope that my son, blah, 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 blah. And instead we should say, Father, and I think we do this in this room, I know we do, Lord, there's this boy, he's gone astray a little bit here. He's your child. I'm hoping in you that you straighten him out.
Amen.
You know, so we're not telling God what to do. Mm-hmm. See, sometimes we try to tell God what to do. But so we're hoping in God too. And I know that this group of ladies are so strong in faith that they know to hope in God. But we all get sidetracked.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Let's be honest. We all get sidetracked and start hoping, oh, I hope that I get that check next week. You know? And so we do say that, but then in that thought process, we also have to say, but Lord, thy will be done. And then we're hoping in God again. We're putting everything back on God. Mm-hmm. I think if everything we do, when I'm playing my guitar, I'm hoping that God helps me play the guitar. And then there's also false hope. Well, I sure hope that doesn't happen to me. Mm-hmm. I sure hope that. Those are the hopes that the enemy comes at us, because he always contradicts goes the opposite of what God says. Always the opposite. And so we have to identify what we are thinking that causes us to stay hopeful or not so hopeful.
That's why I defined what I said when I'm hoping in God.
You're hoping in God. Mm-hmm. And we have to be specific. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just, I don't think you're on the spot, you don't have to answer, but I want to say that I'm hoping in God. Let me see what I'm hoping in God for. I'm just going to share with you what I'm hoping in God for. I'm hoping in God that I have the wisdom and the understanding to make decisions in my life, because it impacts everything. Carol and I are sharing a room in here. Mm-hmm. And and we, you know, we're different, but I really enjoyed having her. Oh my gosh, it was a pleasure having her. But I had a quirk. And so we have to be able to be honest with each other, because that's also demonstrating hope in God. Mm-hmm. If you're not honest with each other, so we had to make a pact. Carol even said before we even unpacked that we made a pact. We need to be honest with each other. Let's just, if is there anything that I'm saying or doing, let me know. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did. We agreed upon that. It's not always pleasant, but we have to do that. Because mm-hmm. I was kind of funky this morning. I didn't like something. And it could have caused a friction, but we talked about it. Mm-hmm. Now that has mm-hmm. to leave. Mm-hmm. That could play in our head. Oh, I can't be with, oh, this happened. Next time it'll be different. So we have to take those thoughts captive, because mm-hmm. the enemy wants to cause division, mm-hmm. even over a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. He wants to cause division over a burrito. Mm-hmm. He wants to cause division in every area of our life. He is ready. Now, the only thing that the enemy can do is what we give him access mm-hmm. to. Mm-hmm. So if I get offended, oh boy, he brings in that offense and causes to be even bigger and causes strife and division. Mm-hmm. And we have to just stick our tongue at him and say no. And go hug that person.
Amen.
And say, you know what, let's let bygones be bygones, literally, and let's continue. Mm-hmm. We have to do that every single day, because then we'll lose our hope. Mm-hmm. We'll get off kilter for like 5 minutes and we're like, oh, wait a minute, mm-hmm. boom, 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 oh, let's get back on track. You know, so we have to realize that we got to get our hope going. And we hope with each other. We hope in God, but we hope with each other. So we're two or more gathered. So that's what Dolores and I pray. I agree with what you're saying, Dolores. We're hoping in God for that thing in agreement. Anything touching this earth, the Bible says, shall be done. Anything that we pray for that we agree on shall be done. I really like that. And it says, where do we keep our thoughts in our hearts? It's in Colossians 3, 1 through 3. Let's take a look at that.
Today and all days, I forget my Bible.
Colossians 3.
Colossians 3, 1 through 3. And here's what's really funny. I was just telling Carol earlier, God eats popcorn. What is that? That is a mnemonic? Is that what you said?
Yes, mnemonic.
Yeah, I learned that new word today, mnemonic. Because mm-hmm. God eats popcorn is like the first letter. God is G, E, eats is E. P, popcorn, C, you know, corn. Okay, mm-hmm. popcorn. What it is the four small books of the Bible. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. So now I got, so whenever I have to look for Colossians, ooh, God eats popcorn, and I remember. So that's just something extra, you guys. Okay. So God eats popcorn, so it helps me to find it. I don't have little tabbies. I would like to get tabbies, so I need to find out where you got your tabbies, so I can get to those scriptures quicker. But Colossians 3, 1 through 3, I want to read that.
Okay.
And it says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Okay, there's that big word. If you be risen with Christ. What does that mean? That means that I have received Christ as my Savior and I'm going to be risen. And I'm not risen yet, am I?
No.
I'm not risen yet. I'm still on the earth. When that day comes, I have by faith believed that I'm being risen with Christ. Okay, I'm going to then want to seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of the Father. You know, many people pray to Jesus, and the scriptures tells us through Jesus's mouth, don't pray to me, guys. Pray to the Father in my name. So we pray to God the Father, because Jesus is at the right hand of God.
Amen.
Many say, oh, I'm asking Jesus into my heart. Well, that's simplistic, because really we're asking through, you know, God to allow the Holy Spirit, because that's what gets deposited in us. We say, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for saving us. I receive you as my Savior. And the minute you do that, the Holy Spirit resides in us. So there's the three triune being, is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And we need all three working. But that's number verse one. It says, set your affection, in other words, your mind, mind, will, and emotions, those are your feelings, your affection, and all that, on things above, not on the earth.
Amen.
For you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ. Okay, here's this is hard. This is a hard one. This verse three, you are dead. What does that mean? That means that I should not be moved by anything.
Exactly.
I should never be offended. I'm supposed to be like a dog laying on the ground. Anybody kicks it, don't feel it because they're dead. But I'm alive in Christ. And that's where I'm spirit, because we're more spirit than we are flesh. So we, as a matter of fact, the Bible says that things on the earth are temporary. Things in the spirit are eternal. So that's the real world, is eternity and eternal life. So we have to set our mind on things above. Okay, so let's say we have to go and change the baby diaper. Okay, how do you set your mind on things above when you're looking at this dirty diaper? Because you begin to say, Lord, this little baby you gave me, you know, you created it to be like this. And then, you know, and you just praise God as you're singing a little melody over that baby as you're changing the diaper. I'll go into the kitchen and have to do dishes. I have this little special light. I turn it on to make ambiance. And I just enjoy doing the dishes in the presence of God. You know, many people don't even want to go into the kitchen. They can't stand. And it controls them. The Bible says don't let nothing control you, even a sink full of dirty dishes. And nothing is to control us. Because when we do, we will lose our hope. It's deferring our hope.
That's right.
Yes, it does.
So how do we get hope? By getting our thoughts on things above.
That's why I asked the Lord to align me, my temple, with His Spirit so that I can serve Him.
Thinking like God thinks.
Our
thoughts come from three different places again. Now, remember, we went to a little conference yesterday. Can you guys repeat to me where those three places come from? Do you remember?
The mind. No.
Close. Your mind.
What, the spirit, the soul?
The three thoughts. Where does the three thoughts come from?
Thoughts.
God, the devil,
and
you.
Yourself.
Oh,
okay.
Oh,
I know, I'm probably like, what do you mean by that question?
Yeah.
Quit putting me on the spot. Okay. All right, so our thoughts come from
invalid
three different places.
Option.
I didn't touch you. I didn't touch the phone. So our thoughts come from three different places, the devil, God, and ourself.
Okay.
Now, the self things are stuff like that's happened to you in your past, and they're just kind of memories that sit there. So they come up. That's the stuff that's within you. Sometimes we're born with it. The iniquities from our fathers. The Bible says that the you know, people who do not love God, their iniquities visit the third and fourth generations to those who hate me. So sometimes what you're thinking might not even be you. And we talked about that a little bit yesterday at the conference, that there's a place of separation, knowing who you are and who you are in God. You need to follow up with the things of the Spirit, because we're going to all have junk. We're all got yucky puckies in there, okay? That's why we have to walk in love and forgive everybody every day, because everybody has their own element of stuff. And so as we can recognize it in our heart, our own life, it's like we have to say, oh, I see that in me. I mean, we can see it in each other really easily, right? But we have to stop and say, I want to see it in me. And that's how we take our thoughts captive, by seeing what's going on. Because if our thoughts aren't what we hear in heaven, then we better recheck our thoughts. Then we got, then this is really cool. Let's say that our thoughts don't think heavenly things, and we're thinking, oh, I got to take care of that business. That person right there has been bugging me, all these different stuff. Well, then that means you better go take care of that person. You better go resolve the issue. So we also talked about last week on taking thoughts captive. And so if any thought is contrary to what the Bible says, that's why you need to know your word, right, Carol?
Amen.
Amen. Carol is a teacher of the word. She teaches, what, 24 hours a week?
About 24 hours a week.
Yeah, 24 hours a week on the phone for the last 10 years?
10 years.
Yeah, so she has the word in her, because the more you teach it, the more you get it. Okay. So if any thought is contrary to the Bible, what it says, it's not from God.
That's right.
It's either from you or the devil. Now, Dolores, you said something yesterday. It was really interesting. You said, and I agree with you, but I want you to explain it yourself, is, and I know I put you on the spot, but that's okay, is that you were saying that everybody thinks the devil makes them do it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what did you say about that?
Everybody is blaming the devil for the things that happen, but they're giving him too much credit.
Yeah.
Because the devil can't mess with us unless we allow it.
That's right. Exactly. So we have to identify, and we're talking about hope. Do we have any hopelessness? Is that the devil messing with us? Yes. So who are we listening to? We got to decide which kingdom we're going to submit to. Because we're going to serve a father. We're serving a father. Is it God the Father or the Godfather? Okay, there's two daddies we're going to serve. Which one are you going to serve? And it's going to be up to what you're thinking about. Now, I say it this way, and I don't know if I said it last week, but you know how when you eat food, they always tell you to eat at least 75% raw or vegetables or fruit and vegetables, and then you can have starch and other meats, you know, like 25%. Same thing with the spirit. You got to feed 75% of your spirit. So if you eat a crumb of this or that, it's covered. It's covered by the word. It's covered. Matter of fact, we were talking about food the other day. People were saying, well, what am I supposed to eat? They've got all these different weird chemicals in food and stuff. Well, if your body was working properly, it would get rid of the toxins properly. But it absorbs the toxins. Fear absorbs toxins. So if you're eating in fear, which the Bible says not to, it says, whatsoever you do in fear is sin. And it's talking in the chapter of food. We always just use that scripture off to the side, but that scripture talks about eating food. If you are eating going, man, I shouldn't be eating this, you're eating in fear. If you got the fork going up to your mouth and you're going, man, I shouldn't have this other piece, stop and say, I'm eating in fear. Forgive me, Lord, and move on. And then he'll start guiding your food intake, because that's exactly what we do. And then when you eat in fear, it sticks.
Amen.
Sticks.
That's true.
Oh yeah, I know. So our feelings are connected to our thoughts. Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay. Can your feelings betray you?
Yes.
Because our thoughts are messy.
Yes.
That's why we have to walk after the Spirit. We are two people trying to walk side by side. We've got the stuff going on. As a matter of fact, Carol and I were talking the other day, and I remembered somebody saying this one time, that you cannot save the flesh.
No, you can't.
You cannot change the flesh. The flesh is the flesh. It ain't going to move. It's the soul and the spirit that gets changed and modified.
Right.
And then it kicks that flesh into gear. It's like my friend Edna would say, I'm walking down the road and my legs are getting tired. I get back going, get legs get going. So she'll tell her body what to do instead of the body telling her what to do. And what we do is we go by symptoms. And those symptoms are telling our spirit what to do. We need to tell our symptoms what to do. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I was telling Carol, right. I was getting up out of bed today. And I was like, I was rolling over going, man, I'm starting to get this little twinge in my head and thinking I'm going to get a headache. I go, no, body, you ain't getting no headache today. You are going to be right. You are, you know, in line with God. He loves you. You are full and vibrant. Mercies are new every morning. That's where I went today. Every morning I have to just take the minute because my natural flesh wants to stay in bed. Wants to stay in bed and just, you know, feed its flesh and be all cozy and comfortable. When my spirit is saying, rise, arise and shine, for the Lord has come.
Amen.
And has,
amen. Yes.
What's the rest of that? And has given upon this place. I forgot the rest of the scripture. Mm-hmm. That just came up.
Linda, yes. Can I just say something please. About the flesh? About the flesh. Yes. You know, the scripture says the flesh profited nothing.
That's right.
So it does nothing. If we give more attention to the flesh, you're not profiting anything. You're wasting.
Yeah.
So we got to give more time to the spirit.
Amen. We sure do. We sure do. And I've heard people say, I just want to bless my flesh. They know exactly what they're talking about. They know that they want to go to the jacuzzi.
That's right.
They want to just, you know, put some pretty stuff on there. Man, I'm telling you, I want to get some. I said I was going to get a manicure and a pedicure. Yeah, this morning I need a manicure and a pedicure. I need to take care of some of this flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. We are a temple. This body is important to take care of.
Thank you, Lord.
But we don't let it rule us. It's just a house. They call it a mobile home, okay? It's just a house, and that's what we take care of. With our own houses, we take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
We paint it. We put on little curtains or whatever. We need to take care of our bodies, but not in a vain way, just to keep it healthy.
Right.
And whatever we put in our mouth isn't necessarily what keeps our body healthy. It's what comes out of the heart. Because if I'm walking around in bitterness and fear all the time, my body's going to respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
Stress is going to affect my body.
Mm-hmm.
Hypertension, blood pressure issues, heart palpitations, all kinds of autoimmune diseases come from stress and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So we're putting a toll on our body. I watched a movie one time and she said, when a woman is depressed, it makes her look haggardly, and she loses 10 years. I mean, she looks 10 years older
she
looks haggardly because of what she's thinking. We have to remember. Carol,
that's
you were
true.
Talking. It was so funny. I don't know why this is coming up. But you had said, we were talking yesterday, and believe me, I need to share this with everybody. We were sitting around the table, and we decided to talk about something, the funniest thing we could think of. Because a merry heart does good like a medicine, and we had been in such deep teaching all weekend, we needed to laugh, okay?
Yeah.
So we laughed so hard, and Carol was talking about how she was walking towards this wall, and she saw this person walking towards her, and she goes, that lady looks just like me. And it was her. It was a mirror. And so sometimes we don't even see the reflection.
Right.
We don't even see God's reflection. We need to look in the mirror a little bit more and look in there. Oh, I see you, God.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's in every one of us.
Amen.
But we have to see that he's in there.
Yes.
So that we can see our own identity through God and his
praise
eyes.
Lord.
I think that's amazing. I think that helps us also get our hope.
Mm-hmm.
If we can look in the mirror and love ourselves, I bet that brings you hope.
That's
but
right.
if you look in the mirror and go, ooh, I'm not looking in the mirror. I'm taking every mirror out of my house.
So ugly.
I am so ugly. I got puffy
feet.
I got the stuff on my face. My hair is funky. Oh, all that. And so that is not a loving of ourselves.
Right.
You know, when we love ourselves, we're actually living in hope.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Hope is the... Oh, here it is. Let's take a look. Hebrews 11:1. Everybody look at Hebrews 11:1. Okay, let's take a look at where Hebrews 11:1 is. Whoever gets there first, I want you to read it. Oh, here it is.
Okay.
Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is. It doesn't give you faith 3 days before you need it.
Now.
You know that.
Mm-hmm.
So I remembered flying one time. And I needed faith to fly, but I was so anxiety stricken about flying that every step I took, I'd say, faith is now, faith is now. And I got on the airplane with my foot, and faith is now. And he gave me what I needed to be on that plane. Mm-hmm. He didn't give it to me an hour before. I was still shaking and trembling and getting all sweaty, trying to get on the airplane. But the minute I put my foot on it, was faith is now. He gave me what I needed, and I had peace.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So faith is now. It's the substance of things hoped for. This is where I need to stop. The substance of things hoped for. So faith only comes by hope. Okay, see what it says there? When you hope, faith is the substance of it. You want more faith? You better get more hope first.
That's right.
Amen.
See how it works? The Bible is its own dictionary. It tells you what it is. Okay, so it says, and the evidence of things not seen. So your hope is going to produce things you can see.
See, it was through that scripture that I learned for my daughter. This is my daughter's seed. This is my daughter's seed. It took me a year before she walked into that church.
Okay, let me explain that story. We have Teresa here, and we were talking yesterday, and faith is the evidence of things hoped for. So what happened was that for a year, Teresa was sitting at church, and she would save an empty seat next to her for her daughter.
Yes.
And for a year, she prayed her daughter would show up. People would want to come and sit there. She goes, no, this is for my daughter. She, by faith, believed her daughter was going to end up in that seat one day. And 1 year later, she did. And she's been faithful ever since. See, that's now evidence that it came through that faith because she hoped for it.
Yes, amen.
Hope is important, people. Yes. If you don't got faith, if you want more faith, you better say, Lord, I need more hope. I want to hope more in you.
Yes.
Then we go on to talking about being honest. Hope also is a substance of being honest. I just think they work together. If you aren't honest with somebody, you're going to lose hope. You're going to lose faith. You're going to lose all that. If you think somebody's lying to you or betraying you or whatever it is, and you don't think, and you're suspicious of them a little bit, then you're losing your hope right there. So we have to be honest with each other. John 8:32 says what? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay, it's make everybody. Now the Bible, some of the versions say set free, and that is a done deal. So why aren't we all free? Because it makes you free. It's a process. Now we're more freer to be freed in, you know, faith because, and truth, because if somebody tells me, well, how come you're not free right now? Wouldn't that make you feel condemned? It make you feel like, well, I don't know, maybe God doesn't love me. You start questioning your salvation. But if somebody says, the Lord is making you free, then you have breathing room. You have mercy and hope and grace and all of it. There's your hope. We lose hope when we think we are alone. How many of us have said that? I have to do it all by myself. I know Dolores has been working on a lot of stuff in her life, and she does a lot of stuff alone. Now sometimes it's good to do it alone because you get it done. You get it done right and you do it the way you want to do it. But when you had other people involved, you know, it gets a little bit more sticky, but sometimes we do want help. I think Carol and I were talking about that yesterday, where we can't do everything by ourselves. We do need help from each other. Yes. The Holy Spirit is our helper. When we get married, we become a helpmate. Help, help, help. I need help. Matter of fact, the greatest prayer you can pray is help. That's the greatest prayer you can pray.
Amen.
So we are going to lose hope, though, when we think we're alone. So we don't have any reason to do it, or we don't get motivated, and we think of all the things that we're in bed, like we're laying there and we're thinking about all the things we want to do and all the things we're going to do, and we just stay in bed because there's nobody to do it with us. You see? Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
And so that's why even Carol, you said it's so nice to have a partner.
Yes.
It really is. It really is. Now you two are good friends here, so you share a lot together, don't you? You've known each other for a long time.
Oh yeah.
Teresa and Dolores are
good
friends.
I'm so glad to be back in her life.
Yes. And so you've got this relationship going on. It doesn't always have to be a male and a female relationship. It could be friends or sisters.
We are truly,
but you need one another. That's what fellowship is all about. If you don't have a fellowship to join, and that's what we're doing here, then you're going to have hopeless. You're going to be hopeless. You're going to feel hopeless. It causes dread.
Yes.
You don't want to get I like to say it this way. Dread messes with your head. Mm-hmm. So when you have dread in your head, your thinking is going to cause you to sit in bed.
Yeah.
Hey, I like that. Write that down, somebody. Uh-huh. Dread messes with your head causes you to stay in bed. All right. That's a good one. That's a mnemonic.
Uh-huh.
Well, close. No, because it's the alphabets that's a mnemonic. All right. So Psalm 23 says, I am with you. So that's what we have to remember. The last few weeks we've been talking about Psalm 23, that we are never alone. So who's lying to us? Who are we listening to when we think we're all by myself?
The devil.
Yeah, because I remember standing in the living room all by myself going, group hug, because there's Jesus, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In my mind, of course, the Father. Then I've got three or four angels. So we were having a group hug in the living room. Mm-hmm. Telling you, it makes a big difference when you know you're surrounded. Dolores has a prayer she prays. Dolores, why don't you repeat what you always pray for people?
Oh, Lord, prepare their mind, prepare their heart, prepare their ears, and bridle their tongue, and bombard them with spirit-filled elders that know you, walk with you, have a relationship with you, and angels 24/7 until they bow down before you.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a beautiful,
that's beautiful
prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I like that.
When I called Dolores, every time we pray, doesn't matter what we talk about, send your warrior angels to Linda. Mm-hmm. Send your warrior angels to Linda. And now I'm seeing a lot of things happening because she really, by faith, believes that the warrior angels are with Linda.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And sometimes you'll say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's okay. The other person has enough faith for you.
Yes.
Because how about the guys that were carrying that guy in the big gurney and was lifting them down through the roof? The friends had the faith for the guy. So sometimes we need each other's faith, people.
That's right.
If I don't have it, I'm going to say, hey, I'll carry your faith for me because right now I ain't got it. Let's be honest.
That's true.
Let's be honest. Then we can get our hope back.
Right.
You know, that's when we hope with each other. Mm-hmm. Our hope with each other comes through knowing we're not alone.
Amen.
I can pick up the phone and call you. I can call anybody in this room. And know that you and me are going to be together and I won't be alone.
Amen.
See, our spirits are talking to your spirit.
Amen.
We are spirit beings. So there is no distance in the spirit. Yeah. So if somebody's calling in from Canada right now, we are in the same room because there's no distance in the spirit.
Yes.
I think that's fantastic. Good. That's the real,
that's
reality.
That's the DNA that we talked about the other day comes in, you know, that spirit of God with each and every one of us. Together we are in the one DNA.
There we are in the one DNA, the body of Christ, and we are one in the spirit.
Amen.
What about that song? We are one in the spirit, we are one in the Lord. That scripture, that song knew it right.
Yes.
But we've missed it.
We've
been so busy taking care of our flesh, going to the doctors, working on our symptoms. You know, we get a little sliver. Oh, I've got to go. Okay, I better not let it happen. It's going to get infected. And we get our thoughts start to go crazy when we need to take those thoughts captive and know what is true.
Yes.
Take care of what is true. Trust God for the rest and go and enjoy your life.
I love that. I learned that. Captivate your thoughts. Oh, yes. Oh, I had never thought about it until I heard it.
Well, Jesus had never been sick. Did we talk about that yesterday?
Yes,
Jesus
because
never was sick. He did went about doing what God wanted him to do. He says he went about doing good. If we're not feeling good that day, you think we're going to be able to get out of bed and go do good? No.
No.
Because the children's bread, you might say, what is really assigned to every person is health. Mm-hmm. So that we can be equipped to do. Jesus didn't have a disease. He got affliction through persecution. Not disease. So we always think affliction is a disease. Jesus never had that. And it says greater works are we going to do when he goes to be with the Father. So what's going on?
That's right.
It's in our thinking, people. We have got to get out of the box of what we think we are able to do. This is what I told Carol this morning. I'm going to use this. I use everything for an example. So if you're in my life, believe me, I'm going to use you as
Amen.
One of my teaching examples. And I hope you're okay with that.
Amen.
Because
That's
this morning,
why we're here.
Okay, I'll tell you this little story. And we're going to be closing really shortly. The story was that Carol had, we went to dinner last night and she brought home some food, put it in the refrigerator. It was a burrito. And so this morning, you know, she wanted to eat it. Well, what was I? What am I getting at this for? What was I talking about? I'm so sorry. I lost my train of thought. Let's not talk about the burrito right now. We'll save it for another day. All right.
Okay.
But I knew it was a good one. Mm-hmm. So
you'll come back to it.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I just know that I have quirky. Oh, I know what I'm doing. I have quirky ways of doing things, and I was in my own little box. This is how I do things. This is what I do in my own room. I might as well just get my own room so I don't have to deal with anybody else's weird little quirky ways that I think are weird, but they're not weird to them, right? Mm-hmm. So she cooks this burrito in the morning, and for me, even at my house, I shut my bedroom door. I don't want any food smell in my bedroom. We're in a bedroom because we're in a hotel room and the food is cooking. So I'm smelling this food. So I'm wondering, should I say anything to Carol? I don't want to make her feel bad. I don't want to offend anybody. But I also want to be honest. So how do you do that? So I started opening the windows. I went to breakfast. I went out, came back. The smell was still here. But I heard the Lord say this to me. He said, get out of your comfort box. It's okay that there's a food smell in there. It's not going to kill you.
That's right.
And that's like, right. I'm not used to that. But God was stretching me, Carol, to say, I can adjust and live with other people. I don't have to be an island.
That's right.
I'm telling you what, this was huge for me today. So I learn everything that happens. I grab out of it and grow from it. So I asked for forgiveness earlier. I hope I didn't offend you, you know.
I wasn't offended.
Yeah.
I told her,
yeah,
as soon as she expressed her thought about the food, I immediately went and took it straight outside. And she thought, you know, I was offended. And I said, no, I want to get it out because I don't know if she's allergic or whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
I want to get it out, you know. So it was no problem.
It was my mindset telling me.
I have no issue with people.
I know. You're very good. That's what I mean. She's like the most even going kind of person to hang out with. And yet I have these little things that bug me, and then God's pulling the bugs out.
That's
you
right.
See what I mean?
Yes,
he's right. Pulling the bugs out. He's pulling the bugs out, and I love it because I need to be, Tom's listening in, I need to be curved around my edges too.
Right.
I'm still in this, people. I am not arrived. Just because I've got the mouthpiece doesn't mean anything. It just means that God's using me right now because I'm learning from what I'm speaking as well. But I just wanted to just talk about that hope a little bit, that having hope in God is critical, and allowing all these situations in our life that happen to get us out of that comfort zone. Because we're hoping that it stays that way.
Yes,
we're hoping.
We are.
That's why people don't like change.
Exactly.
Because
they want
it to stay the same. This is where I'm comfortable. But God wants us out of that.
That's
because
right.
Because one day, people, we might have to live under a sycamore tree.
That's right.
That's right.
We
that's
might
right.
have to eat under the bugs under a rock. Yeah. I don't know what the Lord has in our future, but we have to be able to be changeable,
adjustable,
and conformable and flexible in every area. And I have to admit, I'm not. You know, if you have a stick and it ain't bendable, it's going to break. And I don't want to be broken, people. I want to be bendable. So I have to repent for myself for not being as adjustable and as bendable as I can be. And I'll be the first to admit it. But I just wanted to just kind of throw it out there. I don't know what landed on people today, but I hope that you were able to grab a hold of this hope in God.
Yes.
That what, you know, even in my situation this morning, I pray to the Lord about it. Just out of from a burrito. You got to pray to God about everything.
Everything.
A ring, a piece of jewelry, earrings,
everything. Whatever
it is. You know, recording, talking, whatever. If we pray without ceasing, our hope will remain.
Amen.
That means keeping God, acknowledging in all of our hearts and ways. Acknowledge God in all of our hearts and ways, and He will direct our paths.
Yes.
Isn't that what we want? We want to have clear direction.
Yes.
That's hope.
That's, right. That's why I love my God, because I know that He'll answer prayer every time we pray.
Amen. Well,
Lord.
I praise you, Father. I praise you, Father, for the simple word of hope that you have never complicated the word of God. And I believe that
never.
You want us to all stay in the simplicity of the gospel.
Yes, thank you, Father God.
That,
thank
first
you,
of all, we recognize your word. We weigh it against our own heart. And we go by what the truth says.
Mm-hmm.
We get rid of those things that are not of you. And we get our hope restored only in you.
Yes.
And I praise you in Jesus' name for
Amen.
This word of truth. Now I'm going to end with a song. I know that today I didn't open up the lines because I had people already in the room interjecting and sharing. So we're just going to end. Father, thank you, Lord, again. And I just ask that you would be with each person this week to be able to get their hope restored, because hope deferred makes the heart sick. Father, help them to just hope in you this week in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, God bless you. We're at 11:30 sharp. We did it, girls.
Amen.
Say
Amen.
Goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. God bless,
God bless
you all.
You all. The Lord has lit the way for you this week. Amen.
All right.
Awesome.
That's what he was
good, Linda.
This is a vision I got right now.